That's right, sorry.
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order and do roll call. Mike Barr.
Here.
Steve Borg. Elise Starwish here. Jonathan Dharmapalin.
Here.
Wei-Ling Huber. Carol Eisen. Leon Jones.
Here.
Melissa Mitrovich. Diane Woods.
Here.
Okay, we do not have a quorum, so we will not be making any votes, but we will still hold the meeting and have our reporting items. So let us start with our student leadership report from Mr. Jones.
Yay. Okay. It's so good to be here at the table now.
For the whole
you know, it's in right there with my spotlight, but I'm here. So today I'm going to do more of a reflection on the events that I talked about at the last meeting. So February 7th was when the Black Student Union Assembly took place. It was a spectacular performance. One that was highlighted the most was the JB's OSA dance troupe, which was led by Ms. Jones, who is the receptionist and ADA monitor here, along with Ms. Brown, who does student records. She's student records coordinator. With their diverse group of middle schoolers, they really opened the show for us. It was actually their intercession. So they were like, we have this performance ready. If you need a bit to perform, we were like, well, have you open up the show? And they really pulled it off. A week later, after that, student leadership and the Student of Color Club, Latinos Unidos, collaborated together to do our Valentine's Day Gram fundraiser. We made over $100 in sales over the span of 3 days. It was such a great time delivering the grams, seeing all the smiles of the students, and also pleased to announce that we're working with each affinity club to open them to the student council financial account so that we can get more funds in and giving them support for their events, because when you start up a club, they have no funds. So it's really a way to bring more in and allow them to have a little wiggle room to have events. Our goal at the end of the year is to balance out the account with $1,000. We think that with around 4 or 5 clubs, that should be enough, especially for the beginning of the fall year next year to get them started. Example for things like the 8th grade dinner dance and prom, which that conversation is beginning to start, and I'll give more at the next meeting around those two events. Continuing on with student leadership through the youth leadership program, the help of Ms. Smith, and the Warehouse Toastmasters, which is the Oakland chapter of the Toastmasters International. They're giving our student leadership a real sense on how leadership is. They're delivering speeches, practicing impromptu speaking, and even like figuring out how a council works to really make them the leaders of tomorrow. So glad to be in that class, learning things that I know, learning more, and being able to learn with the other students. Last but not least, the conversation of race as a social construct is also expanding at OSA. There are many conversations having in many rooms, and I'm really glad that we're growing on this and that we're going to come and bring it more centered, like I said, with faculty, students, and I would love and can't wait to report more on our growth about that at the next meeting. If there are no questions, that concludes my report.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Nice to have you at the table.
Yes.
Do we have any public comments?
I'm
sorry. All right. Rebecca Evanson.
Hi. I don't know how you normally like to do this, but I can sit here or come up. I'm a parent here at the school, and I came to a number of meetings last year, and I just wanted to come again today to reinforce the importance to the parent community and really strong support for our teachers. Last year, there were a series of crises around teacher pay and teacher retention, and a lot of parents showed up to express our deep concern that the school take all steps necessary to provide our teachers with fair pay. obligations. So please keep in mind that our teachers are the heart of our school, and that they're what made, that without us, well-compensated, excellent teachers, this school just can't live its potential. So to please make sure our teachers are paid fairly and well, and that the institution bargains with the newly established union in good faith and openly, so that we can create not just the salary structure, but a contract that works for everyone and helps our school thrive. Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa, Liza. Liza, thank you.
I actually was really thinking about this when I got the survey, and I found the survey a little problematic to answer, because all of my answers were actually really positive, but it didn't really reflect how I feel about the experience that I'm having with the teaching. I'm very satisfied with the teaching. I love my students, both of my students teacher. I have two children here, one's in sixth grade. It was a no-brainer for my 10th grader to continue on to high school. I'm not feeling that way with my 6th grader. My 10th grader has had missing teachers at the start of every year for the last 3 years. She's had teachers leave mid-year. She's now, there's rumor mail going around, but it's likely true, going to lose her favorite teacher, her most impactful teacher. I'm not going to say it for you in a minute. You know, some of the questions are, does OSA care about my student? OSA staff treats my student with respect and dignity. There's a positive school culture on campus. My student feels free to talk to staff and feel supportive. All of the answers to that are a little ambiguous, because yes, but kind of no. No, she doesn't feel like she can go to her teachers because she feels like they're overburdened. That's her answer. She feels that they're overburdened because there's sort of an underlying panic going on. Like, am I going to lose my teacher? If I push them a little bit more, is it one more reason for them to step out the door? This is something that she has literally said to me. Like, no, I can't go to her because, you know, she doesn't feel supportive. She can't go to the administration. She feels unsafe in her teaching position. She can't complain. They don't have the resources they need. I do. I can go to you. You know, so I just will not go and talk to that teacher. I feel as a parent the same way. Like, I can't email the teachers. I don't want to hassle them. I don't want to really come to them because I feel like they're not compensated and I know that they're not respected. I saw a lot of energy and panic and just, you know, impetus put on charter renewal. I need to see that put on this issue. I really need to see that, because when people come to me and I have two kids here, I've been here 5 years, and they say, your kids are at OSA, tell us about it. Are you happy there? I feel a little disingenuous in my answers if I say, oh, yeah, it's great. It is great. It's a fantastic place. I really appreciate being here. My kids are thriving. They're doing really, really well. But there's this constant, like, anxiety that we feel in our household. Is a big achievement here. Classes that she thought she was going to be able to have in junior and senior year are not there now because those teachers left and they haven't been replaced. They're all leaving because of pay, ultimately. There's a lot of things here, and I really hope you honor this, but wages is really, really critical. It's so expensive here, as we all know, and we're not going to attract and retain teachers. So please, 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 I'd really like to see
the kind of energy that we put into the charter renewal, put into this issue, is really, really important. Thank you. Chris Bradford.
Hi, I think you know this.
I have good news, not bad. But I thought I'd start with the good news, because that's always more fun. I wanted to alert the board and the OSA community to a petition that I and other people are circulating to put the Schools and Communities First initiative on the ballot. If you don't know about it, it's pretty dope. Our CTA person, I talked to her today, and she estimates that if this were to get on the ballot and pass, OSA should receive about $423,631. That's the CTA estimate. I don't know. I'm not that person who knows how that comes up. So anyway, if you're interested in signing, I've got it here. You have to be for this one, Alameda County. So just be mindful of that. I'll have it back with me. Cool stuff. Don't ask me any questions because I'm like, that's all I know at this point. This is a really petition. It's kind of to take out some of the problems with Prop 13. Those of you that are old like me remember 19. 78, I think it passed. And we visited my mom and I when I was a kid, and here we are again. Yay. The not so good news is that I wanted to alert you guys and the community about some potentially serious issues with the tax withholding on Cambridge. I know at least you've been looped in on a lot of this. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, I'm not claiming any blame. We're still figuring it out. But several teachers, myself included, have discovered that they owe large sums of tax this year due to inadequate withholding. I personally, I get paid to staff. I'm sorry to admit this. I get paid $62,000 a year. They withheld $1,080. I don't know why. And it is, to a degree, my fault for not checking on it. But our paid bridge system is very hard to get into, and I miss it. Anyway, so my concern is that I'm probably not the only teacher that's going to be hit. I know that several others have been hit, and those are the ones that are doing their taxes early. We did get an email. Ms. Smith has been trying to explain it. Some of the information on there appears to be from last year's tax challenges from the 2018 season, so we're still figuring it out. My bill is going to be about $3,000, and I can't pay for parking, much less $3,000. So I don't know what I want to do. We'll figure something out. I strongly urge our leadership to look into this well before April 15th, because if my prediction is right, you're going to have a lot of really upset people, really upset staff. Could be wrong, but I really encourage you to look deeply into this to figure out what's going on. And towards that, I also want to remind the board, you might not know this. I don't know how well it was told, but about two summers ago, there was a major fiasco with summer holdback pay. Summer holdback pay is we're paid on an 11-month cycle, so they take some of our money, put it in a savings account so that we can get paid in July, basically. It's a standard teaching thing. What happened is they didn't hold back enough, and teachers weren't aware of it. When the paycheck came in July, it was very small for people. We had a number of teachers defaulted on loans, got into serious financial trouble. Some of them are still digging themselves out. Many of them left because of this. That wound from that, and that was a mistake in the calculation. I don't know who made the mistake, but there was a mistake. That wound has not healed in our community, in our teaching community. Like I said, some are still recovering from that financially. All of us are still recovering from that emotionally. And the virtual lack of an apology from the administration on that part. Brian did not say a word about it. Antoinette West stood up, did the apology she could, and tried to get ahead of it as best she can. She was let go, as you know. I don't think it was her fault, but I don't know. Anyway, I just want to warn you that there may be a tsunami of very unhappy teachers coming, and I would encourage you to get ahead of that one if you can.
Thank you. Jeremy Taylor?
Quick thing just to add to that.
We're actually recording up here, so okay. If you get if I'll speak, just become a little closer.
Thanks. So this was just the response that we got from CSMC and Cambridge when we raised this concern. Trying to figure out for us, like, what happened? Why was the withholding so different from previous years? Their answer was essentially to tell us the process is we receive the W-4, we apply the tax tables, we process the W-4. That does not tell me anything, I mean, other than like how you would explain like the tax process in the most general possible terms. It take no ownership. It's not. It, clearly, they have not looked into the issue at all to give a more specific answer as to where the like where these calculations could have gone awry. And then I don't know if this is them or Paybridge. Their recommendation, quote, OSA employees should be getting tax advice from their tax accountants for any payroll adjustments that result from tax withholding. We don't have tax accountants because we don't get paid enough to have tax accountants. So I mean, it's funny if it wasn't just such a like a blatant indicator of how detached the consultants that you guys have hired to facilitate in some of these external services seem to have no idea what a school is, what a teacher's life is. I mean, their clients, if they think that we're all just walking around with like an army of professionals on retainer to deal with these kinds of questions, I mean, that's a different world from teaching. So this is a pretty disturbing response to, I mean, everybody, like, mistakes can be made, and we would like them to be corrected, but if this is, I mean, these are people we are paying, I don't know how much, but paying to do this work for the school, and if this sort of terse response, I mean, I read it, and I heard, like, let them eat cake. That was disappointing. I would like them representatives to come and actually speak in person and take questions because this is not acceptable.
Thank you, Julie. Can I ask you a question? Starts with a B.
Bo. Thank you. I didn't prepare as much as other teachers, but the first thing I wanted to say is kudos to the admin and staff. I attended a lot of the board meetings at Oakland Unified. They were really stressful, and we have people there fighting for our school, and I'm so impressed with the passion and the commitment that you all showed for our kids and for the school's mission. And so I was, you know, I know that once our charter was renewed, there was this giant sigh of relief that we're finally through this ginormous mess. And I'm just looking forward to the days ahead. That being said, I think I'm here to echo the sentiments of the other parents in terms of teacher attrition. That's my biggest concern. My daughter loves OSA. This is a dream school for her. I would have killed to have gone to this school as a kid. The teachers are amazing. The admin's amazing. It's got this, it takes a village mentality here where, you know, I know that when she walks in, people know her, people like her, people want to take care of her, protect her. It's a nurturing environment. But that being said, we've lost so many of our favorite teachers. And I know that teacher morale is low. I'm a public school teacher. And right now it's not really, to be honest, the best time to be a teacher. It's really hard to be a teacher right now, anywhere you teach. But the one way that we can show support and respect for our teachers is fair pay. And our teachers get paid virtually nothing. I mean, we're really, the pay scale is so unbelievable. I would love to teach her. I couldn't afford it. There's no way I could even afford to pay my bills if I taught here. And so we're losing a lot of our seasoned teachers for teachers who are fresh out of credential programs. That being said, there is an excitement and an enthusiasm and a, I don't know, just a fresh outlook that new teachers give. But what they don't have is they don't have experience. And when we lose that experience, we're losing the backbone of the school. And that's a really big concern of mine because I felt it in the classes that my daughter's taken. So I guess what I'm here to say is really, as a teacher and as a parent, I'm so impressed with what I see, but we can't afford to lose any more teachers. And I think that should be a top priority for the board and for the school, teacher retention, keeping the people that we have and showing them that we value them. Thank you.
We now have public comment on the COSAT's CTA-NEA sunshine proposal. So I pulled this out separately because what I am learning is that the Sunshine proposal is really a time when the public can comment on what both sides would like to talk about. So if we have any specific public comment about it, I'm happy to, now would be the time. And we'll also be doing this when we have our Sunshine proposal, we'll also allow public comment for that too.
One person.
Oh, okay, Chris?
Yeah. Just in terms of, as we're leading into these negotiations, I want to mention, so I'm one of the seven members of the COSETS bargaining committee. Made up of, we know who they are, two middle school, two high school, three art teachers. We've been meeting, and we're working with our CTA consultants on this. I just wanted to mention a couple things. We were informed that as of yet, and perhaps the status has changed, OSA has not responded to the amended petition to the CURB petition, which was sent in about affiliating with the CTA and the NEA, and the change of the name from COSET to COSETS. So as far as I know, that has not been responded to. That was according to our CTA person. So if that's inaccurate, nobody does.
Okay.
The last I heard, there had not been a response. Things do move forward. It's not just stuck. It's just it would be helpful to know the status. Also, regarding the request for information, which is the legal documents that we send, and we say we need these documents, a number of those documents are not accessible. We've been provided the links, but we can't get to them. So that could be addressed to make sure those documents that we need to see are actually openable. And we've informed administration about that. We had requested in the Sunshine Agreement to begin negotiations next week, I believe. It was in the letter that came with this on, Jeremy, help me out, the 26th. Next Wednesday, basically.
When's the meeting?
Yeah, the proposed meeting was next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, yeah.
And we haven't heard anything back about that, so we're just curious, will OSA be ready to do those negotiations? And also, I just wanted to announce to you guys can't really talk to us about it, but to you folks, if you have any curiosity about what's on here, why we chose these things, Jeremy and I are happy to chat with you. I'm sure Karen, you're familiar with it too. I'm sure you can have to talk to folks about what's on here, what we're thinking about, where we're at with that. Sunshine. The purpose of the Sunshine Agreement is it's to give light to the topics that are going to be covered, and like she said, they will do their own Sunshine right back. So, Sunshine.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, Finance Committee update. We will not be voting, but we will have an update.
Yeah, so as a reminder, we have to submit interim reports twice during a school year. We do what's called the first interim. It's a reflection of what our full year revenue expenses are looking like. In the first interim, and I'm going to look at these guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first.
I'm sorry, I'm supposed to call Waylon when we get to the budget topic, so if you can give me just a second.
Great.
So she can listen.
So while she's doing that, just so the board knows, as of yesterday, I've taken a consulting contract with another charter school operator called A Method Public Schools. I don't see any of my work there conflicting in any way with what's happening here. It's just going to be in the spring. It won't conflict. And we're not really recruiting against them because we're audition-based still. So just so folks know that if anything comes up, for example, a competitive grant that both parties are going for, I'll recuse myself from both sides.
Hey, Wayne,
So as a reminder, we submit two interim reports to the school district or authorizer during the year. The first interim is actuals for July through October. So we look at what's already happened for that part of the year. We sort of reforecast the rest of the year and we submit that to the district. At the time we did that, and that was due late November-ish, we didn't change our full year number at that time. We have a second interim report that's due in about a week and a half, and that includes actuals through January, so 7 months of actuals. The bottom line is we're not changing our total expenses. We're moving some things between categories, but it's not changing anything in the bottom line, and revenue's moving by like a couple hundred bucks. So we're basically sticking with the budget that we submitted. We're continuing to manage to that. Any questions about any of that from the board? Okay. Seeing none, that's my finance committee update.
So we did, we were going to, if we could, vote on both the bylaws update, which everyone had a copy of. The proposed new board members, we think we will end up bringing on three new ones next time. We were going to bring Adrienne Barnes today, but when we didn't have a quorum, I told her she didn't need to come. Adrienne is super knowledgeable about finance, so she will be very helpful in as we move forward. So we now have an executive director search committee update.
Yeah, thank you. Just a few words on that, if I might, right? So a executive director search committee was formed in the fall of 2019, right? With an effort to find an executive director to replace Brian when he left. We identified a external search firm.
I can't hear you.
We identified an external search firm, Agility, to help with that and brought them on board. They're a consulting and search firm. I think I reported this the last time. A very important communication there is that the board of directors is ultimately responsible for finding and recruiting an ED. And the search firm guided us through a process to get feedback and input from various stakeholders. The board was involved, several of the board members are involved in that process, and we got a lot of feedback, and the search was kickstarted. Just a few data points as it pertains, a word on who the search committee members were, included Jonathan Darmopol and myself, Dr. Diane Woods, Stephen Borg, and Whaley, who is on the phone. Is on that search committee. Carol Eisen actually came off the search committee when Whaling joined the search committee. So it's a committee of four people. We've been through about a 3-month rigorous process. The search yielded 76 applicants, which was quite impressive, a little different than the last time when we did the search, partly because we are now in cycle. During the search process, the applicants actually completed various applicants completed video interviews that were conducted by Agility. They narrowed it down to 24 applicants who conducted video interviews. The search committee studied those video interviews, and then there was a long-form interview process also conducted by Agility, and the search committee narrowed that discussion down to six candidates who were also interviewed. So that's where we are. We will have a closed session on the findings of those with the board later today, sometime on the agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once we have something more concrete on that, we will obviously be sending out a broader communication to all parties that is being formulated right now. Steve is driving that process.
So we have to do the actual hiring during a regularly scheduled board meeting.
Correct.
So is it March or April?
I think it'll be April by the time we're actually approving at the board level. So,
okay.
And so we need a quorum for the April.
Well, we need more than a quorum for March.
Yes.
In order to approve our bylaws, and then we definitely will need
a quorum for.
Okay.
For.
I don't have them. Romy, do you have those dates? Handy, because I have my calendar with me.
March
25th. This is for you, board. Make sure you are here.
Okay.
March 25th and April 29th.
You sleep here.
Okay. Now I'm available as of now.
Great. I will send them a